The ministry of death, the law of condemnation. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, where Paul gave instructions regarding the condemnations under the new covenant with the death and resurrection of Messiah. This is one of the many places in the New Testament that causes a lot of confusion under believers. Ministers of the new covenant, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. Do we begin again to command ourselves? Or do we need, like some, epistles of condemnation to you, or letters of condemnation from you? You are our epistles written in our hearts, known and read by all men. It having been made plain that you are the epistles of Christ, ministered by us, not having been written with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but in fleshly tablets of the heart. And we have such trust through Christ towards God. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also has made us able to minister of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit makes alive.
Yes, Joanne, carry on.
Well, a commendation would mean that somebody else was voting that Paul was eligible to teach and to be amongst you. Or you're going to pass on information of commendation, approval, when you write a letter. These are letters going back and forth. I believe that Paul was saying that it was Yahweh and the Spirit were the witnesses that he was legit.
Yes.
Today we'd say letters of recommendation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Paul is asking them, do I need this accommodation from you? It having been made plain that you are epistles of Christ ministered by us, not having been written with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but in fleshy tablets of the heart.
The covenant is the fulfillment of promise. The covenant fulfills the promises that Yahweh made to Abraham.
Okay.
So he said to Abraham,
where is that in scripture? I mean, so I can read it or just knowing it.
That's what a covenant is. It means I promise that I'm going to sell you my car. And let's go back to real estate, okay?
Yeah.
I promise I'm going to sell you my house. So I send you a title commitment. That's a covenant. Okay. And then I finish, we go through the closing, and now you have a title policy.
So it's just a change.
It's a continuation of the process. It's all part of the process of the law, of the land.
Yes, because when Yahweh came to Abraham, he came and told him with his mouth, this is what I'm going to do for you. Mm-hmm. And then this covenant is what Yahweh said by mouth, an oral contract. Now it's a written contract.
Now it's written down, yes.
That's the law.
That's the covenant.
See, I don't know the difference. And the law
is what's written down. If you break one of these, you're breaking the covenant.
So it's really the same thing to me.
Well, it is probably the same thing, but there are guys like Matthew Nolan and David Perry running around saying that part of it's been done away with. And they're saying because the book of the law and the book of the covenant are different things. No, it's what I said earlier in the beginning. Just get rid of that 40 years. You know, let's just pretend that they went on into the land. They just did what they were supposed to do. So now I've got the covenant that says I'm going to get the land. Now I'm going to go into the land. And in order to keep the land, I have to do these laws.
Okay. I got it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, Well, in any case, in Paul's time, only the rabbis was allowed to teach under the authority of the temple or the synagogue.
Excuse me, can you say this?
In Paul's time, only rabbis under the authority of either the temple, which would be the Pharisees, the Sadducees, or the rabbis under the synagogue system were allowed to teach. Paul was going around teaching without their approval to say. And he just said, I do not need approval from you. I mean, if you give me one, it's fine. But it's not about that.
Okay, you said you don't understand.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. In this culture, the oldest son inherits a building. Okay, so the son inherits a building. When the boy is 10 years old, the father says, I'm going to give you this building. When you get 18, he gives you a piece of paper that says you own the building.
Yeah.
That's the covenant. The laws are, when you move into the building, you know, you're not going to have any loud parties. You can't be having girls in your apartment. You know, you look at me straight. You will sweep the floors, you know, keep the windows clean. And the neighbors downstairs, you keep them happy because, you know, we need those people. That's the law.
No, I get it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, let's carry on with this.
But if the ministry of death, having been engraved in letters in stone, was with glory, so that the sons of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses because of the glory of his face, which was being done away, shall not the ministry of the Spirit be with more glory? For if the ministry of condemnation is glorious, much more does the ministry of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, because of the glory that excels. For if that which has been done away was glorious, much more that which remains is glorious. Then, since we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and we are not like Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the sons of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of the things being done away.
In verse 9 is the condemnation I'm speaking of, where Paul is speaking about the condemnation of the book of the law, not the book of the law itself. And this is one of the parts that they quote for the law is done away. No, the condemnation of the law is done away. Condemnation, put it this way, the way the book of the law is set up is if you keep it, one thing will happen. If you don't keep it, something else will happen.
If you keep it, you're commended. If you don't keep it, you're condemned.
That's it.
Yay!
And this is exactly what Paul is saying. If the ministry of condemnation is glorious, much more does the ministry of righteousness exceed in glory. Now I'm going to show that righteousness is also found in the book. It's not just the condemnation. So if something was taken away with the resurrection of Yeshua, won't it be that condemnation of the law instead of the whole law itself if the righteousness is in the law as well? Just a question. I had a hard time with this chapter. That's all I can tell you. I spoke to Kimberly a long time ago about this. And this is also the chapter that Christians jump to see. The law is done away with. Now it's speaking about the condemnation of the law.
So what it is they get confused on is what was nailed to the cross. They say the law was nailed to the cross. This is out of their own text. But what was really nailed to the cross was the condemnation of, was the death sentence that was on us because we broke the covenant. The covenant relationship between us and Yahweh. When we broke that, there was a death sentence on it. This goes back to Genesis chapter 15, where he says that, well, we walk through the pieces, and whoever, whatever, if they break this covenant, I will die for them. So this, in going all the way fast forward to the crucifixion, he is fulfilling his side of the bargain, his side of the agreement with Abraham. So that was the nail, thing nailed to the cross. The death sentence that was on us for us willfully disobeying
the covenant,
the punishment. He bore our punishment because we could not, because we can't die and resurrect ourselves. Only he could do that. This is what the confusion is in the church. Well, the law was done away because it says so right here. No, only the sentence was nailed to the cross.
I know. See, verse 11 says, "For if that which hath been done away was glorious, much more than that which remains is glorious." Their argument is the book of the law was done away with, and which remains is the book of the covenant, which I say, no. Paul just said at the top, the ministry of condemnation was glorious. Much more does the ministry of righteousness exceeds the glory. So the condemnation was taken away, and then the righteousness still stands.
Right.
Context. And this is it's a mistake. It's a misunderstanding which happens. The concept of the book of the law and book of the covenant is extremely difficult. It's a huge subject. And for how many years did you walk in the church believing that the Old Testament is done away with? And we did not see it. So my argument here is the condemnation is what Paul is speaking about in 2 Colossians.
Corinthians.
2 Corinthians. And not about the whole book of the law. Let's carry on.
But their thoughts were blinded, for until the present, the same veil remains on the reading of the old covenant, not taken away. But this veil has been done away in Christ. But until this day, when Moses is read, the veil is on their heart. But whenever it turns to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. But the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with our faces having been unveiled, having beheld the glory of the Lord as in a mirror, are being changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Lord's Spirit.
I'm still asking myself, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? I'm not sure of the answer. But Paul here is referring to the veil hiding something. He's not speaking about the veil hiding the understanding of the law or the condemnation. It's more than that.
The veil on Moses' face was so that they couldn't see the glory of the Lord on him. Okay? But it's more than not seeing the glory of the Lord. Moses is the embodiment of the law. The law is glorious, and when it's veiled over, you don't know what's there. You're blind to it, for their thoughts were blind. What thoughts? The thoughts about whatever they were thinking about the law. They sinned. And sin automatically puts a veil. We always talk about, Lord, remove the veil, mm-hmm. Right? So that, you know, the Lord could have put a veil on all their faces so that they couldn't see.
Yeah.
But instead, he put the veil over Moses' face so they wouldn't understand the law and they wouldn't see that it's glorious. And so, they have this now when we have Messiah, all of a sudden the veil gets lifted. We understand what he was doing back there. We're supposed to.
They're trying to keep us in the land and keep us in the city. So we're all blinded because we're like, no, I don't want to go there. I don't want to do this. So everybody's blind all over again then right now.
They're still blind. They've never stopped being blind. Those Jews are still, they've been blind for 2,900 years.
Yes, sir.
What Moses experienced there with the glowing face and all that people couldn't look at him. Yeshua, the living, breathing Torah, who said, Moses spoke of him, saying, one will come among you, whom you must listen to. He is the answer to their dilemma at Mount Sinai, because they didn't want to hear anymore, because they thought they were going to die. And now it says, yeah, they're right. They're going to die if they keep listening to me this way, because it was too much for them to handle. They were on the milk. They were still trying to figure out how to get out of Egypt, but then they wanted to go back to Egypt. They were mixed up in their head. So when Yeshua came, he told them exactly what they needed to hear at Mount Sinai. He was the answer. He is the Son of God. He is the living, breathing, incarnate God, the Torah. And no one could come against him. They had to put him to death, the Torah. They put to the death. And that's why they say the Torah, we don't listen to. We listen to the Talmud, because they put it to death.
Right, and they don't believe that he resurrected. Therefore, to them, the Torah did not resurrect.
Yeah.
Now, I always tell people, you better hope that the Torah resurrected when Yeshua resurrected, because otherwise there is no such thing as Israel, because his death was to restore Israel. His death wasn't to restore me. It was to restore Israel so that I can become part of Israel.
Let's just go back to verse 14 again. But their thoughts were blinded, for until the present, means when Paul was writing this letter, the silent veil remains on the reading of the old covenant, not taken away. But this veil has been done away in Christ. Not the old covenant, the veil which is the understanding of the old covenant. Now, what happened with us in the church? We started with the New Testament, and it sounded sound, but a lot of the things Paul said just didn't make sense. We just came over them. Then we came in the Hebrew Roots movement and we started to read the law, and it's just awesome. All the things you learn in the Torah. And then you read the New Testament again. Now the whole New Testament reads different. And now we read the Old Testament again, the Old Covenant. Now the Old Covenant reads completely different. But the difference is, first message Yeshua told us when he came here is, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, when we left the New Testament, went to the Old Testament, it was awesome, but we did not see the kingdom in there. Maybe some of us did. But now reading the New Testament, after understanding the Old Testament, now going back to the Old Covenant, that veil is removed. We can find the kingdom in Genesis already. All the elements of that's the veil. They did not understand the kingdom message written in the Torah.
Right.
And what he's saying here is, present to the same veil remained on the reading of the old covenant being taken away. Speaking about, I mean, his argument was against the Jews, and he's trying to explain to them the kingdom, and they don't get it.
But in the second sentence there, it tells you what was done away. The veil.
Exactly.
The veil was done away, not the old covenant.
Mm-hmm.
And that veil, sorry, is because of the sins they had, which is the condemnation of them.
Right.
Of them reading the thing backwards.
Right.
Well, this begs the question, though. This veil has been done away with in Christ. Of course, church tells us, was the old covenant taken away or done away? No, it was that you don't understand the old covenant. It wasn't the old covenant, it's you, whether you get it or you don't. So this veil is, I don't understand. So the question is, it's more of a statement. As a Christian, I don't understand, and the veil is still on my heart. As a Jew or a Muslim, as any religion, I don't understand, and the veil is still on my heart. All the people who won't come to the land, they don't understand, and the veil is still on their heart. They don't know who is in their heart, Yeshua, the Holy Spirit. They don't know who they are, Israel. That it isn't that covenant done away, oh Muslim, oh Jew, oh Christian. It's supposed to be your understanding of, I don't need to be a Jew, Christian, or Muslim. I am Israel. I have Yeshua, and the kingdom is coming, and I need to get ready. I need to get ready for this. Start obeying this covenant because he's coming. That's the veil we want to see taken away when we turn to Yeshua and have our faces unveiled and have a shining face like Moses, you know, like Yeshua, to be able to preach the whole gospel. The whole gospel. You know, and that doesn't just mean healing and deliverance and salvation. It includes a restoral of the land and the people and everything else. It's all of the above. It's a bigger package than they're even telling us.
Yes.
But that's what it is. I think that's what's going on with our people. It's the same thing, and I don't mean the Jews, I mean Christians.
Well, here's the thing we just need to keep in mind. With the Lord and the covenants and his laws, it's either or. You either sin or you don't sin. You're either in the covenant or you're out of the covenant. You're either keeping the law or you're not keeping the law. What happens is that in religion, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, those three things create what I call the gray area. You are in the gray zone. Everything is subject to however you interpret or however your preacher interprets or your imam or your rabbi, how whatever they say about it, they all have a different thing that they say about it, a different way of looking at stuff. That's the gray zone. That's the gray area. That does not exist in the kingdom. This is why you want to get out of the religion and get into the kingdom and realize you're either sinning or you're not sinning. You're either in the covenant or you're not in the covenant. You're either keeping the law or you're not keeping the law. There's no in between.
Let's carry on.
Everything that was written in the book of the Torah was given to Moses when he was on Mount Sinai. Everything that Moses taught to the children was engraved on the tablets of stone and formed part of the covenant given. Why do I say this? Yahweh only wrote the 10 words of the 10 commandments on the tablets of stone, on the first set and on the second set. Both times Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. Exodus 24 verse 12. And Jehovah said to Moses, come up to me in the mountain and be there, and I will give you tablets of stone and the law and the commandments which I have written, so that you may teach them. Exodus 32 verse 15. And Moses turned and went down from the mountain, and the 2 tablets of the testimony were in his hand. The tablets were written on both their sides, on the one side and on the other. And the tablets were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God. It was engraved on the tablets. We need to understand that the Bible is written in a summation. Sometimes, like here, all the information is not given. But when Moses retells what happened, he gives us more detail. This is what we call progressive revelation. The writing of God does not mean that Moses could not have been the scribe to this writing. We will learn that with the second tablet of stone, that Yahweh only wrote the 10 words, but yet the tablet of stone was copies of the first stones. Exodus 34 verse 1. And Yahweh said to Moses, cut out 2 tablets of stone like the first, and I will write upon the tablets the words that were in the first tablets which you broke. 34 verse 4. And he cut out 2 tablets of stone like the first. And Moses rose up early in the morning and went up to Mount Sinai, as Jehovah had commanded him, and took in his hand the 2 tablets of stone. 34 verse 10. And he said, behold, I make a covenant before all your people. I will do marvelous such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation. And all the people in whose midst you are shall see the work of Jehovah, for it is an awesome thing that I will do with you. Exodus 34 verse 11. Observe that which I command you this day, behold. 34 verse 27. And Jehovah said to Moses, write these words for yourself, for on the mouth of these words I have made a covenant with you and with Israel. And he was there with Jehovah 40 days and 40 nights. He neither ate bread nor drank water, and he wrote upon the tablets the words of the covenant, the 10 commandments. Deuteronomy 5 verse 22. Jehovah spoke these words to all your assembly in the mountain out of the midst of the fire, of the cloud, and of the thick darkness, which with a great voice. And he added no more, and he wrote them in the 2 tablets of stone and delivered them to me. Deuteronomy 9 verse 9. When I had gone up into the mountain to receive the tablets of stone, the tablets of the covenant which Jehovah made with you, then I stayed in the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. I neither ate bread nor drank water.
What I'm getting at is that Yahweh wrote the 10 words that he spoke on the tablets. Then he gave the tablets to Moses, and he told Moses the covenant, and Moses was there scribing it on the stones. So it's not about that we got words massively big, 5 on the one side and 5 on the other side. And later on, no, wait a minute, it's on 2 sides. So Yahweh had 3, 3, and 3, 3 words. No. Yahweh probably used a little small piece in the corner of the 10 words, and he said, right, Moses, this is how it works. And Moses wrote everything. I will go as far and say even the things that's in the book of the law was on that tablet. And Moses was teaching it to the children as they went through the wilderness. And when they came into the land now, to Jordan, then he had them writing down whatever was on that tablet into a new set of works, all in the book of the law. And he said, right, tablets in the ark, this law I gave you now on the outside. That's what I'm getting at. Yes, Rick.
So are you saying that what Josh was commanded to do was from the law that was on the outside of the temple part? Sorry.
Yes, but Yahweh already gave it to Moses back in Sinai.
Right. I'm just saying this is what everybody, there was another one of those deals where they basically indexed the people to that at that point in Josh.
This is a place where Yaakov and I have a disagreement, which is really just a technical matter. Verse 27, Yahweh made a covenant with himself and Israel, the people.
Yes.
The covenant is with the people. The book of the law is a covenant with the land. So it may be what you said, that Moses knew this law from Mount Sinai, but I disagree that this law was also written on those tablets. That tablet was the 10 things that he spoke, and that was what's put in the, as far as I can tell, from Scripture. But we disagree.
Right, just to answer that is, if you end up Leviticus, you get blessings and curses. It does not read the same as the book of the law, blessings and curses. So Moses might have reinterpreted it in the way he did, as we find it in Deuteronomy. But it was already everything explained to him and written down.
Yes, I don't believe it was written on those stones. I just don't. The covenant that's in that ark is the covenant between between Yahweh and the people, Israel. This is the covenant that's between the people, Yahweh, and the land. This just expands on the okay. So that's put on the side of the ark. It's just a technical matter. It's just a technicality, and we really don't know.
Yes, Michelle.
Verse 28 says he wrote upon the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. Well, I thought the Ten Commandments was the law.
Yeah, you have the Ten Commandments, which is your covenant rules, basically. Then you have the laws that support that Ten Commandments. It basically tells you how to keep them in more detail. That's the judgment.
So the law and the covenant right there is the same thing.
It's related. It's when me and you go into agreement about something and we stipulate the main points of what we're agreeing about. And after we decide what we agree about, now we go and we define of how we agree about them.
Well.
And then now the law asks, if you go and you break whatever we agreed upon, what will happen? 3 parts to the same common.
But it's all together.
It's all together. You cannot separate.
It can't be separate.
Well, this is the point that's really what we're trying to get to.
Yeah.
David Perry, Matthew Nolan, Covenant Calendar Club folks, and a whole bunch of other people are trying to say that these things are separate things and that some of it can be done away with. Yeah. And by the way, they all differ in which part of it gets done away. And they'll argue over which part was destroyed. Yeah. Okay? We're saying, no, you can't have one
like
thing
you.
Without the other.
I believe like you.
So this is the article when Yahweh gave it to Moses. The fact is Yahweh gave it to Moses. The other covenant was the first people. They agreed to it. They broke it. They all died in the wilderness. 40 years later, we had a new generation going into the land. That covenant was renewed. It was written down in the book of the law. It is basically, there's a verse that says, besides the covenant that was made with you at the mount, you will add this covenant with that covenant. So basically, you have two covenants. The one is supporting the other one. You cannot separate them. One is the promise of faith. One is the laws of the land.
Right. It's the laws of your citizenship. If you're going to be, you know, in Israel and serve the king, you're going to live by these rules, or you're not going to be a citizen of Israel.
And you Americans living in Jordan still live by the Constitution of America. That's what makes you American. We, as citizens of Israel, of the kingdom, we live by the laws of the kingdom, which is the book of the law. That's our constitution.
So Matthew Nolan wants to do away with what?
The book of the law, which is basically not the whole book of the law. Everything that's not the same as the covenant, that's the book of the law. We don't keep that anymore. So that means you feast in the land.
So he can steal from me?
No, that's in the covenant. You cannot steal. So that's part of the book of the covenant.
What's not in the book of the covenant is that, you know, you don't treat God the way that the nations treat their gods. You go to the place where he puts his name to do his feasts. And things like that.
Setting up judges wherever you go. Yes, perfect.
Something to consider when you're dealing with people like Matthew Nolan, and whoever wants to say part of the law or all the law or any of the law was done away with, you need to go back and look at it again. Anyone who teaches you to not follow what's written down, particularly the commandments of God, no matter what side of the fence you may be on in that, they are considered as a false prophet.
Yep.
So, because
You can't add or take away.
No, you cannot add or take away. So if they take anything out of what is there, they are teaching others to do the same. They are considered the least in the kingdom.
And they're in sin. Right?
So, yeah, they're in sin. But until they rectify that situation with Yahweh and teach what is right, they're in that doubt stage that, well, your salvation's in doubt. I don't know. It's between you and Yahweh at that point. But this is the same argument that they said about Yeshua. Yeshua done away with the law at the cross. But the thing is, though, if he did so, he didn't tell his disciples that. He didn't tell anybody in that current realm that he was in that he was going to do that when he died. Oh, by the way, you don't have to do these anymore. What I see as evidence is that they continued to do those things, even after Shavuot that year. Even after, because look at Paul and his journeys, and there's arguments all over the place now. But he still maintained the covenant relationship he had with them. They maintained it. So, for anyone to say he's done away with part of the law, or done away with part of the law, they're heretics.
That's right.
Yes, that's true.
We cannot go and change when we want Torah to mean all five books of Moses. Or their Torah is only the book of the law.
Yes. Well, the thing is, if Yeshua did away with his own law, this is him given this law. If he did away with his own law and died according to this law that he started back there in Genesis 15, your salvation is in doubt, like you said, because you know, maybe he did away with the part that says, when I die, you'll be saved. I mean, he might have done that part might have been done away with. Now, you can argue with me about it. You can say, well, I think you're wrong. I think you would have kept the salvation part because all the apostles taught about salvation. So obviously he kept the salvation part. Well, but then you have to go back to the law and see how it is you get salvation, which is through faith. They don't understand the term that they're using.
Yeah. So if he speaks about faith and salvation, he's not speaking about the law, he's speaking about faith.
Right, he's speaking about faith.
That's why it's so difficult to follow it, because everything is in the law. Actually, there's law in the law, where law can mean anything from Talmudic to a single law in the Torah, where the law is normally the whole Torah as a complete set from Genesis to Deuteronomy, and I think it actually includes Joshua as well.
Yeah.
I want to read Matthew 5:16 quickly and 17. Yeshua's words, just before he started to explain that people will hold the law of Jesus, which I think the New Testament is about. Starting Matthew 5:17. Do not think that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. I have not come to destroy, but to fulfill, meaning to fill up or complete it. Remember, he spoke about the veil. So the veil made that they couldn't see, and now Yeshua came and the veil was taken away, and now it's complete. Now we can see the whole thing and understand it. So I have not come to destroy it, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, till the heaven and the earth pass away, not one jot or one tittle shall in any way pass from the law until all is fulfilled.
That's right.
Now, in the end of the book of the law, before it goes into the side of the ark, Moses says, when you are scattered into the nations, and this law comes to mind, and you start to keep it, I will bring you back to the land of your fathers. That's the fulfillment. That means that is not fulfilled yet. That means nothing in the law, any yod or tittle is done away with. Now, if somebody, therefore, whoever shall relax one of these commandments, the least, and shall teach men to do so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever shall do and teach them, this same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So, yes, Matthew, you can go ahead and teach people the book of the law is done away with. But the book of the law will be the least of the commandments in the Torah. And if you teach people that the least of the commandments is done away with, you will be called the least in the kingdom. That's how simple it is. The law, you can argue to a point, it's not about salvation. And like I said, you can be a sinner, which is breaking the law when you're a sinner, and make it into the kingdom. But if you break the covenant, it doesn't matter, you're not going to make it. The law protects you from breaking the covenant. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do. I'm not sure I completely agree with that.
Matter of ignorance and revelation.
I understand. But if you, when you get into the kingdom, you will have it revealed to you, and then you will repent and you will no longer be a sinner.
Right.
You don't remain that way. But the way you're saying it kind of sounds like you could remain that way.
Yeah.
Now you could remain that way all through your mortal life, because those are called sins of ignorance. Yeah. That's where that comes in. But you can't be a deliberate sinner and still get into the kingdom. So we have to make that distinction. We can't go saying you can be a sinner and still get into the kingdom, because those people that are Christians that worship on Sunday and don't keep the Sabbath, they're sinning every week, but they don't know better. Now, when somebody tells them and they say, well, that's not for me. Well, now it remains to be seen if that's, you know, going to be held against them as deliberate or sin of ignorance. But we have to make that distinction.
No, I said can, not the word.
Okay.
Can, I didn't.
Yeah.
But if you break a covenant, no way you're going to make it. So those people keeping the Sabbath Sunday, are they breaking the law or are they breaking the covenant?
The law.
See, if they break the law, see, that's not for us to decide. Yahweh will go and sit down and say, that was ignorance, you did not know. You broke my law, but I will give you mercy and salvation.
But you see, Sabbath is part of the covenant and the law.
Exactly. So for the next guy, you will say, you knew better. You did not keep my Sabbath. You broke my covenant. I will not forgive you enough of you. You will not have salvation. So the law sort of protects you so you don't break the covenant. Out of ignorance, you can break the law and be forgiven. And you will have mercy. Or out of ignorance could be negligence, and Yahweh says, sorry, but you broke my covenant. I do not know you. No way. That's what Paul is trying to explain. Now it looks like he said the law is done away with, then the law is not done away with. Then the law is holy, then it's not holy.
And here's the thing. We just don't understand this book of the covenant, book of the law. The best thing for us to do is say, let's do everything in Exodus and let's do everything in Leviticus. Yes. And if there's more stuff in Numbers, we'll do that too. And if there's stuff in Deuteronomy, we're going to do that. And by the way, by the time we get to Nehemiah, we're going to go ahead and just do that. Not carrying our business stuff in and outside the gate on the Sabbath. You know, we're just going to go ahead and do that stuff that's later on. And when Yeshua comes along and he says, don't have sex with a woman in your heart, or don't put a knife in your brother in your heart, in your imagination, he's trying to teach you. Then you go ahead and you do that too.
That's it.
Just do it all, and then you don't have to worry about it.
That's wrong.
But the fight that we have now, getting people out of a religious mindset, is these guys that are running around saying, "Well, I have identified the part of the books, those laws that were done away with." No. None of it has been done away with. That's the point we're making.
This is really a difficult thing that believers in Messiah have been battled with since the church started. And the reason for this is the confusion between the Talmudic laws or traditions of the fathers versus what the Bible says. And then, because we didn't understand that, the church started to write their own doctrine over time about people trying to figure this out. Now, you have the first guy trying to figure it out, writing his doctrine. Then you got the next generation studying the doctrine of the first generation to try to figure it out. Now you got doctrines on doctrines on doctrines, and it's so far removed from Scripture. Nobody knows where they are.
Right.
In the meantime, Paul was battling with the Jews between Talmudic Judaism versus what the Bible actually says. And for the best part, what we can do is, let's stick to what the Bible says. So one thing to take note, there is nothing about the Levitical priesthood in the book of Deuteronomy, except that when you choose your elders, and there's Levites and the priesthood is in them, you will listen to them. But not, you will listen to them. That's setting up judges.
And you'll make sure the Levites go with you to the feasts.
Yes.
And that they have food in your gates.
So what is that about Obadiah carrying something outside
in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 13,
okay.
The Jews were not following the law. They were not keeping the Sabbath. On the Sabbath, they were doing business.
Oh.
And they were carrying their goods out in the morning on the Sabbath and selling and buying. And in the evening, they were carrying their goods back inside the gates when the gates closed, because city gates got closed in those days at night. Because you don't want enemies coming in.
Yeah. Well, I was just thinking about maybe I shouldn't drive my car from over there to here. In the second.
It was about buying and
selling. It's about doing business.
Yeah.
Let's show you.
Okay.
Now we again will have a recount of what happened with the first set of tablets of stone. Deuteronomy 9 verse 10. And Jehovah delivered to me the two tablets of stone written with the finger of God, and on them accounting to all the words which Jehovah spoke with you in the mountain out of the midst of the fire in the day of the assembly. And it happened at the end of 40 days and 40 nights, Jehovah gave me the two tablets of stone, the tablets of the covenant. And I took the two tablets and threw them out of my hand and broke them before your eyes. Verse 17. Deuteronomy 10 verse 1. At that time Jehovah said to me, cut out two tablets of stone like the first, and come up to me into the mountain and make an ark of wood. And I will write on the tablets the words that were on the first tablets which you broke, and you shall put them in the ark. And I made an ark out of acacia wood, and cut out two tablets of stone like the first, and went up into the mountain, having the two tablets in my hand. And he wrote on the tablets, according to the first writing, the Ten Commandments which Jehovah spoke to you in the mountain out of the midst of the fire in the day of the assembly, and Jehovah gave them to me. And I turned myself and came down from the mountain, and put the tablets in the ark which I made, and there they are, as Jehovah commanded me. 10 verse 10. And I stayed in the mountain according to the first time 40 days and 40 nights, and Jehovah listened to me at that time also. Jehovah would not destroy you.
In verse 5 it looks like Yahweh wrote the words on the tablets of stone, he gave it to Moses, and Moses just left and went down. But just as you go down a little further, the same chapter, verse 10, Moses just said, and I stayed on the mountain according to the first one. The Hebrew concept of and is not necessary in a chronology. The moment you see the word and, it can go back to what he said earlier. In this case, Moses basically said, after Yahweh gave me the tablets, I stayed 40 days and 40 nights, and then I came back. We just said in verse 5, I turned around and went back.
Exodus 34 verse 28. And he was there with Jehovah 40 days and 40 nights. He neither ate bread nor drank water, and he wrote upon the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. The second he is capitalized in English, but in the Hebrew the word he is part of the verb and does not stand on its own. It can be rendered either capital or small letters. The context for he in this sentence is Moses. Also, there is no commas in Hebrew, so going to the interlinear text of this verse, it could also say that the covenant of the Ten Commandments, rather than the covenant, the Ten Commandments.
That is cloudy, if it's just the covenant of the Ten Commandments.
Well, it's a difference in language and how I sense structure and punctuation. And that's part also a huge part of our understanding. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, you have a different way of thinking in the Hebrew language. You have a different way of thinking in the Greek language in the New Testament. We've been trying to learn Arabic, and these people think way different than Americans do in their language structure. And it's hard, and I don't have time to spend trying to, I mean, I know words, but I say them and everybody looks at me like I'm nuts. So it's a matter of culture and grammar structure together in the languages. And so it isn't necessarily that somebody screwed with the command with that verse 28. It's just a matter of that's an old English structure. It's like back there in 2 Corinthians where it said that, you know, the veil and that and thing that was not taken away. Well, what wasn't taken away, we found out, was in the next sentence, the veil. Well, that participial phrase should have been up there next to, you know, further up in the sentence next to. But that's the translation, and that also is part of the confusion.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Something to also consider is that when it was written with the hey there in front of the word, or at the end, he would be at the end of the word, actually. We have to understand who the he is that they're referring to. Why did they capitalize it in the English? My guess is they had some rabbinic or somebody there that could clarify that for them as if this is the he that is Yahweh. Or they would have said Hashem or whatever. But they would always if you looked in the preface, they would tell you this is how they would have determined it. So there might have been a footnote on there saying this he is reference to God.
Well, we just read a verse in Exodus 24 that said that Yahweh wrote the thing and the judgments and the statutes and gave it to Moses to teach.
Right.
I mean, so again, the 10 chapters earlier, you find out who the he is that wrote the tablets.
Because they did use the capital, or he in the second part, the B part. We know it's Yahweh. Well, and the lowercase he has to be Moses.
Well, in Hebrew, there are no upper and lowercase.
I know it. It's like, but in English, they helped us out here. Right. So we knew that verse 28, what it really means, if you know English.
I would say that second one is Moses wrote on the tablets.
He?
No.
The books of the covenant.
No.
Because the context is he was there for Jehovah 40 days and 40 nights.
And he wrote upon the tablets of the covenant?
Because there was an earlier verse that says Yahweh only wrote the Ten Commandments.
So he, in the B part, is Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. Only because has a capital H, and we know that Yahweh wrote with his finger on the tablets. In previous, it has to be Yahweh.
So what I'm trying to show you through the first set of tablets mentioned, the first or second tablets in Exodus, and then again in Deuteronomy, there are information that's cross-referencing that says that Moses was there on both tablets, 40 yeah. days and 40 nights.
Right.
Yahweh wrote the 10 words, and Moses wrote the rest. But it's not mentioned in a chronological order like that. It's mentioned, there one thing is mentioned, and in Exodus something else is mentioned. But yet it says, I will give you the second tablet like the first tablet.
Uh-huh.
Meaning it's the same way. So if Yahweh wrote the first time only the 10 words, then the second time only wrote the 10 words. If he wrote the first time everything, the second time Yahweh wrote everything.
I was just looking at the interlinear. That part is talking about he wrote upon the tablets and the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. That is not even ended that way. It says, and he wrote, okay, but it actually should be somewhere along the lines that he did not eat nor drink, but he wrote the commandments of Yahweh, or something along those lines. But it's not really clear. Some of this stuff is added in English because we as English speakers have to have more things in our sentence to understand what is being spoken. Hebrew is more direct. It's more concrete. We're abstract thinkers. We have to have more information. So that's all.
If you're a woman.
Okay, so in Exodus 24:12, Yahweh said to Moses, come up to me in the mount and be there. In other words, come up here, sit down, shut up.
Yeah.
And I will give you tablets of stone, and a law, and commandments which I have written. So he's the tablets of stone, and a law, and commandments which I have written that you may teach them. I think the one that gives the covenant is the one that writes the covenant.
Yeah, I believe
it's never the person who is going to accept the covenant who writes the covenant.
Right.
That's always the way it is in every transaction. When there's a contract, the seller has the contract.
That's what I believe.
Yeah.
And if you have a scribe, somebody else is writing your words like they did in the 1600s.
Well, but that person represents the covenant giver, and Moses was never called a scribe. He was always the receiver. He was the guy representing the other side, receiving on behalf of.
A scribe is later, after the fact.
Yeah. John. Yes, Yuri?
Joanne.
Hi, Joanne.
Yes, Joanne.
I have come to learn about Hebrew that the verb is the point of the sentence and the noun is the additional information. So if the verb is give and the verb is written, because I have given, I have written, says Yahweh, then it's not quite so confusing to me to break up the Hebrew that way. I've also learned that something can't be in the abstract first. It has to be in the concrete first, as in faith is an abstract word, but we see it acted out, so we understand it with concrete ways. So I actually have to leave the room. I had written in the chat that I have to go, but I'm looking forward to the replay so I can continue on, because this is very important, and I'm loving the study. I've said it before, I'm just rehearsing it again, that I really have enjoyed and loved the study. So shalom to all. And
I'm glad you've been with you.
Deuteronomy 10, verse 4.
And then, hi, Lisa.
It all depends on how you read it. And he wrote on the tablets, according to the first writing, the Ten Commandments, which Jehovah spoke to you in the mountain out of the midst of fire, the day of the assembly. And Jehovah gave them to me. It tells me Yahweh wrote the 10 words on it. Then he goes to tablets to
me.
And then in verse 5, he says, I turned myself and came down. But in verse 10, he said, and I stayed in the mountain according to the first time, 40 days and 40 nights. But he didn't mention him going back off again with the tablets.
Okay, you have to understand that in the old, in the ancient times, in the context, and even in old English, he's and she's are not always identifiable.
Mm.
In Daniel 9:27, there is a he that strengthens a covenant, and in the next sentence, we have a he that breaks the altar. Well, that's the abomination of desolation. The one that strengthens the covenant is also the one who had the operational altar. It doesn't say that. The implication is there. But the first he has the covenant and he has the altar. A second he comes along and messes that thing up. And how do I know that? Because there has never been an Israelite he or a Jewish he or a house of Israel he who destroyed Yahweh's altar. That always was done by other he's called Gentile he's. So you can have a he do this, and then he does something else, and a he again does another thing. And you have to just think logically and legally, in legal terms. If you've ever dealt with contracts, the seller or the giver of the contract or the covenant always supplies the covenant. He never gives it to the buyer and says, here, you write it out.
Or whoever wrote it, there were 10 commandments on that stone, and there was more. The commandments, the judgments, and the laws was on that stone.
It doesn't say that that was on. All those verses say that the tablets had the 10 commandments on them, and then it just says that Yahweh gave Moses the law. That means when he came down from the mountain, what he came down with was an oral law. It wasn't written down. It was written down when he sat down and wrote it down so that he could have the young man bring the bulls and do that and sprinkle the blood on the people and up on the altar. And then he had a book called the Book of the Covenant. That's what was given to him, but he had to come down from the mountain and write it down on the mountain. Because we know from ancient times, we've got scrolls that where the law is written on landscape. They're not written in stone.
Oh, yeah, it was written on both sides.
You can write 10 things on both sides. And doesn't have to be broken up a certain way. Like people are saying, well, it had to have, you know, two over here and three over here. and then two over here and three over here. No. No, it doesn't have to be red. Because you know what? That Sabbath law, that's a long one.
Yeah. Everything you need, but you need to know about the Sabbath.
Yes. So anyway, we are going to run out of time. We're only on slide 27. I bet you got 40 more to go.
Not quite, but that's all right.
Okay.
It was during the giving of the second tablet that Moses had a shining face so bright that he had to cover it with a veil. Exodus 34 verse 29. And it happened as Moses was going down from the mountain of Sinai, the two tablets of the testimony being in Moses' hand, as he went down from the mountain, Moses did not know that the skin of his face had become luminous through his speaking with him. And Aaron and all the sons of Israel saw Moses, and behold, the skin of his face had become luminous, and they were afraid to come near him. And Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. And afterward, all the sons of Israel came near, and he commanded them all that Jehovah had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. And Moses finished speaking with them, and put a veil on his face.
Basically, what happened is the second time he came up, he got the tablets, he stayed there for 40 days, 40 nights, and when he came down, he was shining. And that's when the veil came up. And that's the context of what Paul is writing about in 2 Corinthians. That was the reading of that.
So, the context of 2 Corinthians chapter 3 is the giving of the second set of tablets. The condemnations for not keeping the covenant that was written on the tablets of stone was all put together in chronology by Moses when he gave the book of the Torah to the Israelites. Those who walked in the sins written in the stone tablets walked in the condemnation that was given as well, and they are blinded as not to see through the veil to the greater promises that Yahweh gave to the children of Israel. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 7. But if the ministry of death, having been engraved in the letters in stone, was with glory, so that the sons of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses, because of the glory of his face, which was being done away, shall not the ministry of the Spirit be with more glory? For if the ministry of condemnation is glorious, much more does the ministry of righteousness exceed in glory. The ministry of death is in reference to the law of sin and death. The ministry of condemnation is the part mentioned in the book of the law that condemns those who walk in sin and break the commandments of Yahweh. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 13. And we are not like Moses, who put a veil over his face, so that the sons of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of the things being done away. But their thoughts were blinded, for until the present the same veil remains on the reading of the old covenant, not taken away, but this veil has been done away in Christ. But until this day, when Moses is read, the veil is on their hearts. With the veil being removed from our eyes, we can see the righteousness of Yahweh in the book of the Torah. We look beyond the condemnation, since it was done away with in Messiah, and we can see the fulfillment of the promise made to Abraham. The covenant of Yahweh, which was made at Mount Sinai and then renewed when the people entered into the land, was broken during the times of Jeremiah. We will read about this in Jeremiah chapter 11. The condemnation of the full extent of the Torah came on the children of Israel. These condemnations were nailed to the cross and done away with. When Yeshua died, all the condemnations caused by the sons of Israel, all the way back to Adam, including the golden calf and the Baal worship of all the tribes of Israel and their kings, was forgiven. But in order to get this forgiveness, Yeshua's sacrifice must be accepted and repentance have to be made for forgiveness, else the veil is not removed and also not the condemnation. And just to be clear, that Paul did not mean the book of the Torah was done away with, or even everything including the Ten Commandments, as the church teaches. Let's read the first and the last part of the book of the Torah. Deuteronomy 4 verse 1. And now, Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I teach you in order to do them, so that you may live and go in and possess the land which Jehovah, the God of your fathers, gives you. You shall not add to the word which I command you, neither shall you take away from it, so that you may keep the commandments of Jehovah your God which I command you. Your eyes have seen what Jehovah did because of Baal Peor, for Jehovah your God has destroyed from among you all the men that followed Baal Peor. And you who held fast to Jehovah your God are alive, every one of you, this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as Jehovah my God commanded me, so that you should do so in the land where you go to possess it, and you shall keep and do them. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is wise and understanding people.
An opening before Moses starts to give us the actual content of the book of the law. He tells us that this is our wisdom, this is our understanding, and the nations will think we are great if we are bold.
For who is a great nation whose God is coming near to them, as Jehovah our God is, in all our calling on him? And who is great nation whose statutes and judgments are so righteous as all this law which I set before you today? Only take heed to yourself, and keep your soul carefully, lest you forget the things which your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. But teach them to your sons and to your sons' sons. Remember the day that you stood before Jehovah your God in Horeb, when Jehovah said to me, gather the people to me, and I will make them hear my words, so that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and they may teach their sons. And you came near and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire to the midst of heaven, with darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. And Jehovah spoke to you out of the midst of the fire. You heard this voice of the words, but saw no likeness, only a voice.
Here again, verse 10. So that you may learn to fear me all the days that you shall live upon the earth. Now, if I'm not mistaken, we are still living on the earth, and we are partakers of the promise of the covenant according to Galatians chapter 3. You understand what I'm saying? Well, the book of the law cannot be done away with if this is the opening statement of the book of the law. Let's carry on.
But what if they go to live on Mars?
Well, there's actually a verse for that. We'll get there. I think we're going to do the closing. I'll tell you.
Deuteronomy 30, verse 1. And it shall be when all these things have come on you, the blessings and the curses which I have set before you, and when you shall call them to mind among the older nations where Jehovah your God has driven you, and shall return to Jehovah your God, and shall obey his voice according to all that I command you today, you and your sons, with all your heart and with all your soul, then Jehovah your God will turn your captivity, and he will have compassion on you, and will return and gather you from all the nations where Jehovah your God has scattered you. If you are driven out into the outmost parts of the heavens, Jehovah your God will gather you from there, and he will bring you from there. And Jehovah your God will bring you into the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it, and he will do you good, and multiply you above all your fathers.
If you believe that the Jews are Israel, then this is fulfilled. But if you understand that Israel is that scattered tribes into the four corners of the earth, 12 tribes, not just two or four, then this is not fulfilled yet. So again, the law cannot be done away with, because yet you are set up and told everything is fulfilled.
And Jehovah your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your seed, to love Jehovah your God with all your heart and with all your soul, so that you may live. And Jehovah your God will put all these curses on your enemies, and on those that hate you, who persecute you, and you shall return and obey the voice of Jehovah and do all his commandments which I command you today. And Jehovah your God will make you have plenty in every work of your hand, and in the fruit of your body, and in the fruit of your cattle, and in the fruit of your land for good. For Jehovah will again rejoice over you for good, as he rejoiced over your fathers. For you shall listen to the voice of Jehovah your God, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law. And if you turn to Jehovah your God with all your heart and with all your soul, for this commandment which I command you today is not hidden from you, neither is it far off.
But again, the language that Moses is using here, that everything I tell you today will stand up until basically you are back in the land after you've been scattered. So again, if you believe that is the Jews, and you believe that this United Nations State of Israel is the Israel of the Bible, then obviously you can make the assumption, no, but see, this is done away, it's fulfilled, it's done away, it's not for us. But in our understanding, we're not there yet.
It is not in heaven that you should say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it to us, so that we may hear it and do it. Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who shall go over the sea for us to the region beyond the sea and bring it to us, so that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, so that you may do it. Behold, I have set before you today life and good, and death and evil. And that I command you today to love Jehovah your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, so that you may live and multiply. And Jehovah your God shall bless you in the land where you go to possess it.
It is not in heaven. We don't need an angel in our ministry in the basement coming to me every Saturday before sermon, explaining to me what I'm going to teach you. Neither do I have to go to the Jews on the other side of the world, over the sea, to go and get what Yahweh wants from us in the Talmudic. Everything was given to us in the Torah, and Yahweh makes sure everybody got a Bible. Again, because this is what Moses gave us, the book of the law.
But if you turn away your heart so that you will not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days on the land where you pass over Jordan to go possess it. I call heaven and earth to record today against you. I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Therefore, choose life so that both you and your seed may live, so that you may love Jehovah your God, and that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and your length of your days, so that you may dwell in the land which Jehovah swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give it to them.
Again, like I said earlier, the whole reason for the book of the law is, that's the reason they write there. So we don't go and serve other gods. If your heart is set to Jerusalem, to the land, like it should be, and your heart is not idol worship, but Yahweh worship, then you will not go down and worship other gods. That is the reason for the book of the law. It's going.
Matthew 5, verse 17. Do not think that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. I have not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, till the heaven and the earth pass away, not one jot or one tittle shall in any way pass from the law until all is fulfilled, filled up or completed. Therefore, whoever shall relax one of these commandments, the least, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness shall exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven.
A lot of people make the argument that Yeshua speaking about the Lord is about to give. We have It's about three chapters of explanation of the law. But we need to take the context that, you know, what they said in 580, he speaks about the law. Meaning that his context is the law, not saying that, no, this is portraying to what I'm going to tell you next. And then the other thing is, unless your righteousness shall exceed, remember those words righteousness, because I'm going to show you in the book of the law, and Moses tell us, the book of the law is our righteousness.
Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1. And these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which Jehovah our God commanded to teach you, so that you might do them in the land where you go to possess it, that you might fear Jehovah your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command you, you and your sons and your sons' sons, all the days of your life, and so that your days may be prolonged. Then hear, O Israel, and be careful to do it, so that it may be well with you, and that you may greatly multiply, as Jehovah, the God of your father, has promised you, in the land that flows with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, Jehovah our God is one, Jehovah. And you shall love Jehovah your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart. And if we are careful to do all this commanded before Jehovah our God, as he has commanded us, it shall be our righteousness. It is right here where righteousness is defined. And this does not change because Yeshua died on the cross, or because Paul is difficult to understand. Paul never changed or spoke against this principle. The righteousness of the New Testament is on the foundation of the understanding that our righteousness is in keeping the ordinances, commandments, and statutes as it was given to us by Moses here in the book of the law. You can also go and read Psalm 119 on your own, in which King David glorifies the Torah of Yahweh. Condemnations in the book of the Torah. Let's go and have a look at these condemnations written in the book of the Torah. The very first thing that Moses told the new generation was that idolatry was forbidden. Deuteronomy 4 verse 15. Therefore, take good heed to yourself, for you saw no kind of likeness on the day Jehovah spoke to you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire, lest you act corruptly and make yourself a graven image, the likeness of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any beast on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flies in the air, the likeness of anything that creeps on the ground, the likeness of any fish in the waters beneath the earth, and lest you lift up your eyes to the heavens, and when you see the sun, and the moon, and the stars, all the host of heaven, lest you should be driven to worship them and serve them, which Jehovah your God has allotted to all the nations under the heavens. Chapter 4 verse 23. Take heed to yourself, lest you forget the covenant of Jehovah your God, which he made with you, and make you a graven image, a likeness of anything which Jehovah your God has forbidden you. For Jehovah your God is a consuming fire and a jealous God. When you father sons and sons of sons, and when you shall have remained long in the land and have dealt corruptly by making a graven image, the likeness of anything, and shall do evil in the sight of Jehovah your God, to provoke him to anger, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day, that you shall soon utterly perish from off the land which you are crossing over Jordan to possess. You shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall utterly be destroyed. And Jehovah shall scatter you among the nations, and you shall be left few in number among the nations where Jehovah shall drive you. And there you shall serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see, nor hear, nor eat, nor smell. But if you seek Jehovah your God from there, you shall find him. If you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul, when you are in trouble, and when all these things have found you in the latter days, then you shall return to Jehovah your God, and shall be obedient to his voice. For Jehovah your God is a merciful God. He will not forsake you, nor destroy you, nor forget the covenant of your fathers which he swore to them. The whole book of Deuteronomy is written in a sense of, if you do this, everything will be well, but if you do not do this, then there will be consequences. I will try to bring some verses out as examples, but everything leads up to the blessings and the curses, which is found in Deuteronomy chapter 28 to 30. Chapter 4 verse 2. You shall not add to the word which I command you, neither shall you take away from it, so that you may keep the commands of Jehovah your God which I command you. 4 verse 15. Therefore, take good heed to yourselves, for you saw no kind of likeness on the day Jehovah spoke to you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire, lest you act corruptly and make yourself a graven image. Verse 23. Take heed to yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of Jehovah your God, which he made with you, and make you a graven image, a likeness of anything which Jehovah your God has forbidden you. 4 verse 26. I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day, that you shall soon utterly perish from off the land which you are crossing over Jordan to possess. You shall not prolong your days upon it. You shall utterly be destroyed. Verse 39. Therefore, know this day and consider within your heart that Jehovah is God in heaven above and on the earth beneath. There is no other. Therefore, you shall keep his statutes and his commandments, which I command you this day, so that it may go well with you and with all your sons after you, and so that you may make your days longer upon the earth which Jehovah your God gives you forever. Deuteronomy 6 verse 12. You shall be on guard, lest you forget Jehovah who brought you forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of slaves. You shall fear Jehovah your God and serve him, and shall swear by his name. You shall not go after other gods, of the gods of the people all around you, for Jehovah your God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of Jehovah your God be kindled against you and destroy you from off the face of the earth. You shall not tempt Jehovah your God as you tempted in Massah. You shall carefully keep the commandments of Jehovah your God, and his testimonies, and his statutes which he commanded you. And you shall do the right and good in the sight of Jehovah, so that it may be well with you, and so that you may go in and possess the good land which Jehovah swore to your fathers. Deuteronomy 7 verse 1. When Jehovah your God shall bring you into the land where you go to possess it, and has cast out many nations before you, the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than you, and Jehovah your God shall deliver them before you, you shall crush them, completely destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them, nor show mercy to them, nor shall you make marriages with them. You shall not give your daughters to his sons, nor shall you take his daughters to your sons. Chapter 7 verse 9. Therefore, know that Jehovah your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. And he repays those who hate him to their face, to destroy them. He will not be slow to repay him who hates him. He will repay him to his face. And you shall keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command you today to do them. And it shall be, because you listen to these judgments and keep and do them, Jehovah your God shall keep to you the covenant and the mercy which he swore to your fathers. Deuteronomy 7 verse 25. You shall burn the graven images of their gods with fire. You shall not desire the silver or the gold on them, nor take it for yourself, so that you may not be snared in it, for it is an abomination to Jehovah your God. And you shall not bring an abomination into your house, lest you be a cursed thing like it. You shall utterly hate it, and you shall utterly despise it, for it is a cursed thing. 8 verse 11. Beware that you do not forget Jehovah your God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and lived in them, and when your herd and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart might be lifted up, and you might forget Jehovah your God who brought you forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of slaves. Deuteronomy 9 verse 4. Do not speak in your heart after Jehovah your God has cast them out from before you, saying, For my righteousness, Jehovah has brought me in to possess this land. But for the wickedness of these nations, Jehovah your God drives them out from before you. Not for your righteousness, or for the uprightness of your heart, do you go to possess their land. But for the wickedness of these nations, Jehovah your God drives them out from before you, so that he may perform the word which Jehovah swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Therefore, understand that Jehovah your God does not give you this good land to possess it for your righteousness, for you are a stiff-necked people. Deuteronomy 10 verse 18. He executes justice for the fatherless and widow, and loves the stranger, giving him food and clothing. Therefore, love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. You shall fear Jehovah your God, you shall serve him, and you shall hold fast to him, and swear by his name.
Just keep in mind, I'm trying to show the verses that if you do not keep them, will lead to a condemnation, which is basically in the blessings and curses. This one specific I'm going to call out because we have in Judaism and the people in the land today that tell us we are in the land because we are righteous. And in the book of the law, it's directly always said, you shall not do that. You are not in the land because you are righteous. You are in the land because they are unrighteous and replacing you. This is important for us to understand and to get past the deception of Judaism in general. Listen to the words, people. If you're in the church, listen to the words of the preachers. If you have to do with the messianic movement, listen to the words of the teachers and the pastors. And if they contradict what's in here, if this is done away with, it's fine. You can do whatever you want. But if you understand it's not done away with, rather stick to what the scripture says. Let's carry on.
Chapter 11, verse 27. A blessing if you obey the commandments of Jehovah your God, which I command you today, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of Jehovah your God, but will turn aside out of the way which I command you today, to go after other gods which you have not known. 12 verse 2. You shall completely destroy all the places in which the nations which you shall possess serve their gods, on the high mountains and on the hills under every green tree. And you shall overthrow their altars and break their pillars, and burn their pillars with fire. And you shall cut down the carved images of their gods, and destroy their name out of that place. You shall not do so to Jehovah your God. Deuteronomy 12 verse 13. Take heed to yourself that you do not offer your burnt offerings in every place that you see. But in the place which Jehovah shall choose in one of your tribes, there you shall offer your burnt offerings, and there you shall do all that I command you. However, with all your soul's desire you shall sacrifice and eat flesh in all your gates, according to the blessing of Jehovah your God which he has given you. The clean and the unclean one may eat, as of the gazelle and as of the hart. Chapter 12 verse 29. When Jehovah your God shall cut off the nations before you, where you go to possess them, and you take their place and dwell in their land, take heed to yourself that you do not become snared by following them, after they are destroyed from before you, and that you do not ask about their gods, saying, How did these nations serve their gods, that I too may do likewise? You shall not do so to Jehovah your God, for every abomination to Jehovah which he hates, they have done to their gods. Even their sons and their daughters they have burnt in the fire to their gods.
That last two verses, everybody that did a little bit of digging into what Eastern Christmas means. Those two verses basically tell you why you will not keep Christmas or Easter. Because both of those two holidays is pagan holidays that had to do with child sacrifice.
Deuteronomy 13 verse 1. If a prophet rises amongst you, or a dreamer of dreams, and gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder which he foretold to you occurs, saying, let us go after other gods which you have not known, and let us serve them, you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for Jehovah your God is testing you to know whether you love Jehovah your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Deuteronomy 14 verse 1. You are the sons of Jehovah your God. You shall not cut yourselves, nor make any baldness between your eyes for the dead. For you are a holy people to Jehovah your God, and Jehovah has chosen you to be a peculiar people to himself, above all the nations that are on the earth. 14 verse 3. You shall not eat any hateful things. 14 verse 22. You shall truly tithe all the increase of your seed that the field brings forth year by year. Deuteronomy 16 verse 1. Observe the month of Aviv, and keep the Passover to Jehovah your God. For in the month of Aviv, Jehovah your God brought you forth out of Egypt by night. You may not sacrifice the Passover within any of your gates, which Jehovah your God gives you. But at the place which Jehovah your God shall choose to place his name in, there you shall sacrifice the Passover at evening, at the going of the sun, at the time that you came out of Egypt. 16 verse 9. You shall count 7 weeks to yourselves, begin the count to 7 weeks from the time you began to put the sickle to the grain. And you shall keep the feast of weeks to Jehovah your God with a measure of free will offering of your hand, which you shall give according as Jehovah your God has blessed you. Deuteronomy 16 verse 16. 3 times in a year shall all your males appear before Jehovah your God in the place which he shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, and in the feast of weeks, and in the feast of tabernacles, and they shall not appear before Jehovah empty, but each with his gift in his hand, according to the blessing of Jehovah your God which he has given you. You shall appoint judges and officers for yourself in all your gates which Jehovah your God gives you, tribe by tribe, and they shall judge the people with righteous judgment. You shall not prevent judgment, you shall not respect persons, nor take a gift, for a bribe blinds the eye of the wise and perverts the words of the righteous. You shall follow that which is altogether just, that you may live and inherit the land which Jehovah your God gives you. You shall not set up for yourself pillars of any trees near the altar of Jehovah your God, which you shall make for yourself, nor shall you set up an image which Jehovah your God hates. Deuteronomy 17 verse 2. If there is found among you, inside any of your gates which Jehovah your God gives you, a man or woman who does what is evil in the sight of Jehovah your God in breaking his covenant, and has gone and served other gods and worshipped them, either the sun or the moon, or any of the host of heaven which I have not commanded, and if it is told you, and you have heard and inquired carefully, and, behold, it is true and the thing is certain, such abominations is done in Israel, then you shall bring forth that man or that woman who has committed that evil thing to your gates, even that man or that woman, and shall stone them with stones until they die.
We have the three religions. I've said this before: the sun religion, Christianity; the moon religion, Islam; and the star religion, Judaism. And those three heavenly bodies are associated with a whole host of other deities. You know, so whatever religion you're in, You're probably worshiping one of them at least.
But did it take notice after he went through this, all this law can lead to condemnation? It's basically what keeps you from worshiping other gods. It keeps you out of Christianity, out of Judaism, and out of
That's why you're saying you could be a sinner, which you're screwing up on other parts, and get some kind of forgiveness and ignorance or whatever. But this is breaking the covenant.
Yes.
And your salvation is maybe according to the judge.
Yes.
Because it's you. That's the line. That's the point.
Well, these are we're calling them condemnation, but these are issues of treason.
Issues of treason. Good.
See, all this stuff Israel did, and they were condemned to death, but Yeshua died on the cross, and now they are.
Like, adultery is wrong, it has a death penalty, but it's not the same thing as doing this. That's a sin, as opposed to breaking the covenant. I get what you're saying.
If you break the covenant, you better get back in covenant than you can. If you sin, you better stop sinning, because you're not going to make it, and your sin will lead to condemnation in your life. You will have curses in your life if you sin. We know that. That's the punishment. It's not done away with. The condemnation of the sins as a national level was done away with.
Is this the condemnation we're dealing with in your study? Is this?
Yes. This is not the condemnation, but this leads to the condemnation, which we will discuss next week, which is the curse.
Okay. And it's regarding covenant breaking, worshiping other gods primarily?
No, it's basically anything in the law that can lead you to the curses.
Okay.
So anything in the book of the law, all the stuff I showed so far, will have a positive if you keep it and a negative if you don't.
I guess my question is, what is blotted out or nailed to, or which part of this?
Nothing of this is done.
Nothing of this.
The result, if you break this, is what was done. In other words, as
well. Like Yeshua did this, he didn't do it.
Yes.
But he took the place of the people that did this.
Yes.
Are doing this.
Everybody that was guilty of this was supposed to die. Especially when they got to the point where they started to worship the sun, the moon, and the host of heavens, which we read in the history of Israel in my study. Then Yeshua came and he died, and that condemnation against Israel for breaking these commandments was nailed to the cross. The condemnation only, not the curses. Now, if you sin again, he will not die for you again on the cross. That's what Paul is saying. So now, if you again break the commandments, you're sinning in these sins. Now you will die in your sins for your broken covenant.
And every generation that dies in this will resurrect at the great white throne judgment.
Yes.
The last generation will go through the great tribulation for this.
Yes. The way I understand it,
but we already screwed this up.
Yes.
Yeah, we did.
We did.
That's why I keep saying this last generation carries the burden of all the last 2,000 years of our people having done that.
So we have to fix this as a people, as a community,
yes.
And we're still going to get whooped for what they did.
Yeah.
But we don't know out of our ancestors who's going to be in the kingdom with us and who's going to have to wait after the millennium.
Right.
Because that's a...
Jeremiah, I think, is the verse, or maybe it's in Isaiah, it's in Jeremiah, that says that by going through this tribulation, Jacob, that's the physical descendants, will atone
for this,
for that, for this stuff.
Yes.
You were going through this, and something came to mind about the Jews themselves think that if they're not in Israel, they're safe. And everything I've been studying on the last... I'm serious. This is the thought.
Oh, no.
They think they're safe. They're in... They're in San Diego, L.A., Sacramento, Los Angeles, Salem, Portland. I'm not saying, but that's Seattle, Portland. Reno, Nevada. I even looked at that because there was something that I heard about. Well, and something else, and also Boston, Chicago. These cities are cities of destruction. They think there's, I just don't actually, That's why he said that. He said he's going to burn. These guys think they're saved. They're supposed to be telling the people about how to get closer to God, and they're not. He said, I'm going to drag you out. It's not just Jews pretending. This is all the 12 tribes. They're all over scattered across the nations, and they're thinking they're safe because they're wherever they're at. They're not safe. He's coming to get them. He's first sent the fishers, and then he's going to send the hunters.
Right.
The hunters are already there.
Yes.
We listen to the fishers. That's why we are here.
Right.
And we are the fishers. That's why we are here.
Right.
And regarding what Ratman said, this is a national thing. We as a nation is doing this. Some of us came out of this, and we hope on what Zephaniah said, that if we are righteous, Yahweh will protect us in the day of tribulation.
And Rick, you know, you mentioned it, you and all of us in this room mentioned the Jews, but you know why we don't get to know what tribe we're from before Yeshua comes now? So that we can't say, well, the tribe of Asher didn't do that stuff. The tribe of Asher doesn't deserve it. Or, you know, I'm from the tribe of Issachar. We're the wise people that's mentioned in, you know, the book of 2 Chronicles as being wise among all Israel. We certainly, because all of us get punished, it's corporate.
Right.
It's not tribal.
Right. Exactly. And if you're safe, what did God promise Abraham? This, your seed will be scattered in all, and it'll be blessed, the blessing of all of the nations. But with that blessing also comes a curse, because they don't want to do what he says. So he's going to bring them kicking and screaming, whether they like it or not, and they're going to come back to this land, and they're going to say, oh, we made a mistake. Maybe they'll say it, or, why did you bring us here? Done.
Elaine just put a...
Yes, she just thinks you have to go to work.
Okay.
A great study. Thank you for...
Okay. All right, let's carry on because we only have a few minutes.
We're almost done.
Deuteronomy 18, verse 9. When you come to the land which Jehovah your God gives you, you shall not learn to do according to the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that uses divination, an observer of clouds, or a fortune teller, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or one who calls to the dead. For all that do these things are an abomination to Jehovah, and because of these abominations, Jehovah your God drives them out from before you. You may not remove your neighbor's landmark, which those in the past have set in your inheritance, which you shall inherit in the land which Jehovah your God gives you to possess it. Deuteronomy 19, verse 16. If a false witness rises up against any man to testify of falling away against him, then both the men who are disagreeing shall stand before Jehovah, before the priest and the judges which shall be in those days. And the judges shall make careful inquiry, and behold, if the witness is a false witness, and has testified falsely against his brother, then you shall do to him as he had thought to have done to his brother, so that you shall put the evil away from among you. Chapter 20, verse 16. But of the cities of these people which Jehovah your God gives you for an inheritance, you shall save alive nothing that breathes. But you shall utterly destroy them, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, as Jehovah your God has commanded you, so that they may not teach you to do according to all their abominations which they have done to their gods, so you would sin against Jehovah your God. Deuteronomy 23, verse 17. There shall be no harlot of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel. You shall not bring the hire of a harlot or the price of a dog into the house of Jehovah your God for any vow, for even both these are hateful to Jehovah your God. 25, verse 13. You shall not have in your bag two kinds of weights, a great stone and a small. You shall not have in your house two kinds of measures, a great ephah and a small. And you shall have a perfect and just weight, a perfect and just measure you shall have, so that your days may be lengthened in the land which Jehovah your God gives you. King Josiah spent about 6 years in cleaning up the idolatry from the land of all Israel. As he was reading through these commandments, he would have recognized everything written that could result in the breaking of the covenant. Next week we will finish reading the book of the Torah, looking at the law of condemnation, which would be the curses spoken of if Israel broke the covenant of Yahweh. Thank you and God bless. Shalom.
Right, Elisa, it was good to see you. We've got to run because we've got lockdown and we want to make sure everybody has enough time to get home if they're going to do anything else between now and lockdown time, which is 7. We have a lot of time for that. So,
whatever you do, know you have faith. 5:12, and that all shall be well. I pray for y'all every morning after I put on my armor. I can't specify enough that you put on your armor.
Yes. Blessings to you.
Heavenly Father, thank you again for this Tuesday study, and you can bring us together where we can look at your word and try to see what you meant when you said it. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit guiding us and the opportunities that you give us to be able to spend the time with our members. Please be with our brothers out there and show them what they need to do and give them understanding. Please, Father, we are all sinners and we sin because we don't understand, and sometimes we sin because we are weak in the flesh. Please forgive us and help us to strengthen ourselves. In Yeshua's name, amen.
All right,
goodbye,
Lisa.
Bye-bye.
Blessings.